Experience a full mind, body, and spirit approach to living your best life. Learn how to achieve optimal health, wealth, and happiness. This is your journey to wellness and abundance. You are listening to Mind Over Matters with your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness.
Hi everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. I'm a double board certified integrative and interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional medicine. I'm also a best-selling author, speaker, and the director for the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness in Bloomingdale, Illinois. As you know, the purpose of this show is to get you thinking about how powerful your mind is and what you can do right now to improve the health of your day-to-day relationships, improve the health of your work relationships, improve your physical health, your mental health, even your financial health. All of these areas can be dramatically improved by taking a holistic approach to those improvements, small strategic changes that compound over time. So my goal is to educate and empower you to live a life by design, a life on purpose, with passion, and of course, positive results. So to that end, we're talking about passion today. I want to ask, on a scale of 10, 10 being the best, how would you rate yourself when it comes to making an effort to keep the sexual energy alive in your relationship? Now be honest with yourself, especially if you're in a long-term relationship, right? It can be a lot more challenging to stoke those flames of desire when you've been in a relationship for a while and when you've dealt with many of the challenges, whether they be day-to-day challenges or otherwise, that a long-term relationship can bring. But there are ways to get back on track to keep those particular home fires burning if you or your partner haven't been so good about it over the years. Thanks to Drs. Marianne Brandon, Emily Jamia, Grant Brenner, David Ludden, and Madeline Fajir, they've all come together to offer ways to stoke those flames of sexual satisfaction, which include creating what some call a sexual flow state. I'm eager to hear more about that. What is, you know, often called sexual communal strength, and understanding the need to be desired. All of these can help you who feel like your sexual life falls short of your ideals. I think it was Chester Cheeto that said, "It ain't easy being cheesy." And as a psychologist who's seen a lot of couples over the years with a main complaint often tying back to sexual dissatisfaction, it ain't easy maintaining the lust and desire either. So let's get to it. Welcome to this week's show titled Keeping the Sexual Sizzle Alive in Your Relationships. All right, so we'll start by talking about what Dr. Marianne Brandon says about the purpose of passion. She says, she starts by saying, stop blaming yourself or your partner if your sex life is not what you desire. There's a reason for it, and for many, workarounds are possible. All right, so keep that in mind. If it's not what you like, you got to be able to, take some steps and you earn your way back into it, because she's talking about workarounds. So she says, sometimes when a couple begins having less frequent sex, the man may think his partner's libido is low, but that may not be the case. It may just be that she doesn't want to have sex with him anymore. He tries to be understanding of her work and family pressures and distractions, but the source of her stress may be sex itself. It can be a horrible feeling to want sex, but not to want it with your partner anymore, the author says. Often, it's not about love. These partners may love each other without question. If only they could have sex, the relationship would be almost perfect, the author says. But no one can tell the body what to want. In some cases, this can lead to infidelity. Even if the problem is not caused by a partner's desire for someone else, people may seek an attractive alternative if they begin to feel a void their partner cannot fill. So, the author says, most people in this predicament don't desire a celibate life, but they may not seek a divorce, affair, or I should say they may seek a divorce, affair, or open marriage, right? Sometimes they feel stuck, guilty, sad, and ashamed, and confused because they honestly don't know what happened. They loved sex with their partner for years, maybe even for decades, and then something changed. So the question then becomes, now what, right? I want to just pause and say, you know, we've been hearing a lot more and reading a lot more in mainstream media about polyamorous relationships, right? Open relationships. It seems I can't go on to the news feed, which, you know, you guys know me. I rarely read the news and I never watch the news because it's notoriously bad for our health. But on occasion, I'll scroll the headlines because I still need to stay current. But it seems like I can't even open up that news browser anymore without seeing an article for open relationships or polyamorous relationships. So, you know, this is really coming of age. And it used to be that, you know, if a couple said that they were in an open relationship, oh my God, the taboo. And immediately the connotation of the stereotype is of the swinger. But that's absolutely not true. I think now we're starting to see, you know, more people getting, you know, more honest about sexual dissatisfaction in the relationship and what they're doing to keep those, you know, fires of passion stoked. So the author, again, Dr. Marian Brandon, says, now what? She says, a lack of passion may not be personal, but a challenge presented by evolutionary design. She says, as I see it, your body wasn't designed to stay in lust with the same person for years on end. The evolutionary purpose of passion isn't to keep a couple together for decades, but to motivate short-term pair bonding and procreation. I'm just going to pause there and say that is true. I don't know if the authors are going to talk about pheromones, right? Those are those particular hormones that, you know, produce a lot of things, including sexual desire. But here's the thing. When two people get together, you know, whether it just be, you know, for a one-night stand or, you know, they're dating, they're in a new relationship, those pheromones are like pumping, right? There's a chemical reaction. Well, when you've been with your pair, with your partner for, you know, a while, those same pheromones, you know, it's like they dropped off a cliff. You know, they're not as potent and you're not putting out as many, right? So the purpose, there really is an evolutionary purpose, and that purpose is to come together and procreate. In fact, marriage, just as, you know, an aside, but it definitely relates, marriage is a fairly new cultural value. It's only, I think, a few hundred years old, and it was meant to bring, landowners together. So we tend to think, you know, in our modern culture that, you know, two people get together, maybe they get married or maybe they don't, but they're in a committed monogamous relationship, you know, that's it. But there's a reason why people will get bored with your current sexual partner, and it's not personal. You know, as the author says, a lot of it is evolutionary, right? She says, you know, the evolutionary purpose of passion isn't to keep a couple together for decades, but to motivate short-term pair bonding and procreation. She says, after that goal is achieved, our innate desire for a well-known partner may become more fragile. It may even subside. Nonetheless, she says, our sexual wiring remains intact, as is often discovered by those who find passion in the arms of an affair partner or re-enter the dating scene after a divorce. For those who want to stay together, though, there are options. Consciously accessing your primal, passionate selves, including playing with elements of dominance and vulnerability, could re-trigger your desire. Seeing a therapist for guidance can also be helpful. Above all, rather than blaming yourself or your partner, consider the possibility that what's happening is no one's fault. Nature will always be a powerful, unconscious force in a couple's love life. Sharing an intimate relationship with one partner over time is a core challenge of being human. So hold yourself and your partner with love as you forge your intimate path together. All right, so understanding the purpose of passion from an evolutionary perspective, it's short-term pair bonding and procreation, okay? But there are workarounds, so I'm excited when we come into the next segment to start talking about that. But the first thing I want to encourage you to do, if you have noticed your sexual dissatisfaction, you know, increasing, is be open to having a conversation with your sexual partner, okay? All right, so you're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. When we come back, we'll be talking about the pleasures of achieving a sexual flow state. Stick around.
The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damaged tissue, restoring normal function.
The procedures were easy, comfortable, and left me feeling pain-free. I can dance, run, and jump again if I want to.
3 decades of pain in my back and neck injuries I suffered in active duty. The doctor has me nearly 100% pain-free now, and I never thought that was possible.
Trust the thousands who got their life back. Book an appointment today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to this week's show titled Keeping the Sexual Sizzle Alive in Your Relationship. Hey, if you've missed any of the show, you definitely want to catch a rebroadcast. You can check out a rebroadcast on this great station, or you can check it out online at our website. It's thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. We also post a replay link on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thecifhw. I want to thank you for following us on social media. It's our goal to bring you content that's valuable, that helps you to create new insights, maybe inspires and motivates you to create some short-term change and even some long-term change. But regardless, we want to thank you for supporting us and ask that you like us and follow us and share the content. Also, speaking of sharing, sharing is caring. I'm going to encourage you to purchase a copy of my best-selling book, LifeWorks, An Integrative Approach to Health and Happiness. 100% of all those royalties go to benefit several nonprofit organizations. You can download a Kindle version or pick up the paperback version, which is what I'm going to ask you to do, because those royalties are a little bit higher. And again, we want to support several nonprofits, including Wounded Warriors. Salvation Army is one of our chosen charities, St. Jude's, Shriners Hospital, Michigan Doodle Rescue Connect, Western DuPage Special Recreation, Meals on Wheels, just to name a few. So 100% of the royalties from my best-selling book, LifeWorks, An Integrative Approach to Health and Happiness, goes to support several nonprofits. So that's really you supporting. So sharing really is caring. And then I want to invite you, if you're dealing with any kind of mental health considerations or physical health issues, give us a call to schedule an appointment, 630-980-1400. We are accepting new patients. We see clients locally, nationally. We've even treated international clients. We see clients in person, video visits, as well as telehealth. So if you know, we can help you to achieve a greater state of mental health and wellness or physical health and wellness, give us a call, 630-980-1400. All right, so let's get back to keeping the sexual sizzle alive in your relationship. I want to thank the various doctors that have contributed to you know, this show. Now we're going to move into talking about the pleasures of achieving what is called a sexual flow state. New research sheds light on a novel way to boost sexual satisfaction and treat low desire. Let me just say, if you're experiencing low desire, it could be hormonal related too. On the first segment, I talked about, you know, the pheromones, you know, significantly decreasing after we become familiar with our sexual partner. That's very natural, right? But, you know, when we talk about physical health, it's really, really important to have your hormones checked by a good integrative and functional medicine provider. And because here's the thing, a lot of times, especially for women, their testosterone will drop really, really low. It will bottom out often through the floor, as you know, many women have reported, especially after they have their first child, and that rarely goes addressed by their OBGYN. So I know that's a huge source of frustration for couples, but I would absolutely encourage you to seek out a BioT, bioidentical hormone replacement physician. They will do a very comprehensive profile of your hormones in relation to other hormones, okay? So I know we can achieve a sexual flow state, but I'm just going to say, men and women, arguably one of the most important hormones is testosterone, and it directly relates to so many things in your body, not just your sex life. But if you're having difficulties in your sex life, you know, some pretty simple blood work. All right, so back to achieving this flow state. Thanks to Dr. Emily Jamia, PhD, regarding this new research. She says, flow is a word we usually associate with extreme sports or artistic experiences. But my recent study, she says, published in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy, found that flow is a state enjoyed by people during sex as well. This was the first study to examine the relationship between flow and sexual satisfaction, she says. We surveyed people in long-term monogamous relationships and discovered that passionate, fulfilling sex is very much a possibility for older married couples, and I will tell you, unmarried couples as well. She says, our study not only suggests that sex can improve with time, but also that it may be one of the peak experiences couples share. A lot of couples long for the passionate, seemingly effortless sex they see in the movies. While I remind them that what they're seeing are paid actors following a script, I understand what they mean. As I've contemplated it more, it occurred to me that what they may truly be after is a flow state, she says. So why does flow matter? She says flow is a term coined by psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, sorry if I mispronounced your name, who proposed 8 characteristics of the experience: complete concentration, clarity of goals, transformation of time, intrinsic reward, effortlessness, balance of challenge and skills, merger of action and awareness, and feeling of control over the task. You may have heard surfers describe being at one with the wave, or perhaps you've witnessed a group of musicians jam on their instruments, creating melodies that aren't planned. Individuals who engage in activities that produce a flow state tend to report having more meaningful lives, experiencing greater overall well-being, and tending to feel happier than other people. And since sex is an activity most adults engage in regularly, we wondered if by examining the relationship between flow and sexual satisfaction, we might find a new way of helping people access this meaningful state and conceptualizing the treatment of low desire. So she talks about optimal sexual experiences. Canadian psychologist Peggy Kleinplatz and her team began studying optimal sexual experiences over a decade ago. Through a series of interviews, her team identified 8 components of optimal sex, and the language her participants used appeared very similar to that used by people who experience flow. Previous participants in my own research have used similar language to describe their best sexual experiences. Quote, it's as if the rest of the world disappears, end quote. Or, time seems to stand still. Therefore, it made sense to me to study the relationship between flow and sexual satisfaction using quantitative measures to see how our findings would compare to what others described qualitatively. She says, our team sampled 100 participants in monogamous relationships to find out if it was possible for them to experience a state of flow during sex, and if so, whether this predicted sexual satisfaction. We particularly were interested in studying couples in long-term relationships because we hoped to debunk stereotypes that good sex happens only in the honeymoon phase or is reserved for the young and able-bodied. She says, our participants completed an online survey consisting of 2 questionnaires. One was titled The New Sexual Satisfaction Scale, and the Core Dispositional Flow State Scale was the other one. She says, we found that flow was in fact a statistically significant positive predictor of both partner-focused and personal sexual satisfaction, and we did not find any significant gender differences in our results. She says, what makes this research exciting is that it gives us a new way of conceptualizing great sex and treating low desire. And I'm already finding that by teaching my clients how to induce a flow state, I can help them begin to transform their sex lives. All right, so we know that flow is absolutely possible. So if you're an athlete and, you know, you may have experienced this flow state. So again, it's often described as it's as if the world disappears or time stands still. I think, you know, a lot of times new parents experience a sense of flow state too, when that oxytocin is like, you know, so high after they've given birth, or maybe, you know, a father holds his newborn child for a moment. They're just in that state of flow where nothing else matters. Okay. So that flow state, it can be across your sexual relationship. It can be, you know, achieved, you know, when you're jamming out as a musician. It can be in sports. It can be something you just experience when you're in nature. But it's absolutely possible to capture it inside a long-term sexual relationship as well. Okay. When we come back, though, I want to talk about what men want and why they need it, according to Dr. Grant Brenner. Okay, what men want and why they need it. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. We will be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working? Or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take? We can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology to gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
Everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to this week's show titled Keeping the Sexual Sizzle Alive in Your Relationships, especially in your long-term relationships. Okay, and then again, in your relationship, because, you know, unless you're in a poly relationship, then it's relationships. But if you're in a monogamous relationship, it's the singular. Okay, but if you've missed any of the show, you'll definitely want to catch a rebroadcast on this great station, or check out a replay link on our website. It's thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. You can check it out on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thecifhw. Yeah, thecifhw. Want to invite you to follow us, like us, and share our content on social media. It's our goal to bring you valuable content. Again, the purpose of Mind Over Matters is to educate and empower you to live a life by design, right? And so we want to give good content to that end. And then if you'd like to schedule an appointment, we are accepting new patients and clients. We've got a remarkable team of providers. Our whole goal is to transform lives through restoring your health. Our sweet spot is resolving chronic conditions. Maybe it's a recurrent depression. Maybe it's a stubborn anxiety. Maybe you're dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, maybe you're dealing with some stubborn health issues, right? Maybe it's an autoimmune condition or chronic knee pain or neuropathy. We've got a talented team of experts whose mission it is to resolve all of these chronic conditions as often as possible without drugs and surgery, and it's usually possible, and to give you back a state of optimal health and wellness. So to schedule an appointment, please give us a call, 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400. All right, so if you're in a long-term relationship and you're noticing some of that sexual sizzle starting to fizzle, you're listening to the right show. So we're talking about what you can do to re-energize your sexual relationship. We last left off talking about the pleasures of achieving a flow state. Now we want to move into understanding what men want and why they need it. And again, this is just, you know, kind of some global statements. Not every man wants the same thing, just like not everyone, you know, every woman wants the same thing. It really is about communicating clearly, openly, honestly with your partner. But according to Dr. Grant Brenner, who's a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst and the co-author of Relationship Sanity and Inner Relationship, he says almost all men want to be sexually desired, but few actually feel that they are. He says there's no doubt that a caricatured version of the male sexual desire dominates the culture. and that more nuanced views remain underrepresented, communicating that men must always be the initiator, never the object of desire. Unchallenged, this characterization becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Men may feel pressure to act one way, and even exploring other approaches can bring them stigma and shame, the author says. Well, Dr. Brenner talks about men's need to be desired. He says researchers Sarah Hunter Murray and Lori Brado conducted structured interviews with 300 heterosexual men between the ages of 18 and 65 who were in a relationship. Participants responded to questions including, quote, how important is it to have your female partner desire you? How do you feel sexually desired by your partner? And what, if anything, do you wish your female partner was doing more of that would help you feel desired? End quote. All of the respondents said that feeling sexually desired, was important to them. Nearly 95% said it was very important. A few reported that in the absence of being desired, they would not be able to have sex at all due to lack of arousal or the impact on their self-esteem. And about 12% said they no longer felt desired in their relationship at all. Ways of being desired were also significant. About 40% of the men said that verbal expressions of desire, such as being complimented or being engaged in sexual talk, were important. Some men felt more desired and aroused when a partner told them what she needed. Flirtation, including a sultry look or meaningful glance, was also important, as was non-sexual romantic touch, such as a rub of the arm, a snuggle, or a quick kiss. Such touch, the men reported, made them feel not just desirable, but special and wanted not only for sex. Okay. So again, take this with a grain of salt. They studied 300 heterosexual men, and 300, that's a really good clinical study. But not all men are heterosexual, right? So take it with a grain of salt, but it's important to know. The author also talked about lust as common ground. He says, in the end, only 12% of men felt that they were truly desired. The rest hoped their partners would do more, be more dominant, romantic, flirtatious, or sexually interested. And feeling that they always had to be the ones to initiate sex, they reported, could be fatiguing and even boring. They wanted a more collaborative, active partner. The author says the truth may be that men and women are more alike than previously acknowledged. Recognizing this while still valuing differences could lay a foundation for more informed, nuanced, and effective communication, as well as sexual satisfaction. You know, one of the things I always, and I'm going to use that term deliberately. I know we should avoid always and never, but always tell couples when I'm working with them is about the need to communicate early, often, and clearly. When something comes up, communicate it early, right? So your partner doesn't, you know, think he or she is doing something that you really like if you really don't like it. So early, you know, often, you know, if you've got something coming up, it could be a significant date. Hey, I just want to remind you we've got that thing coming up on Friday. Or, hey, you know what, I would really like for us next time, you know, we're in the bedroom to blah, blah, blah. So often. And then clearly, I like to say, if you know what you like, the best way to get those needs and wants and desires fulfilled is for you to communicate it clearly. So early, often, and clearly, whether you're talking about your plans for the weekend or talking about what you like in the bedroom, you need to communicate early, often, and clearly. And nobody knows your body better than you. So if you know the roadmap of your body, you're best served and your partner is well served if you just give directions. And if there's something you've been wanting to try, try it out, but communicate it clearly to your partner, okay? Because whether it's what men want or what women want, they're not going to know unless you told them. I mean, I'm willing to bet, you know, most of these 300 heterosexual men in this study may not have communicated how important it is for them to have their partner desire them and tell them and make sexual overtures, okay? So it's really, really important to communicate early, often, and clearly with regards to your partner, especially as your relationship changes over the years, right? Because you're going to change. Your health is going to change. Your lifestyle is going to change. You know, Your hormone levels are going to fluctuate, so be open to letting your partner know exactly what you need. And if you find yourself in a sexual rut, I'm definitely going to encourage you to get in with a really good couples therapist and just be really real about it, because one of the best ways to keep the sexual sizzle alive in your relationship is to address it openly and honestly, okay? And it's not, you know, and a good couples therapist can help you to, you know, express it in such a way that it's not a personal attack on your partner. You know, it's not because your partner failed, you know, at something, but you need to understand that there are several changes physically, mentally, emotionally, situationally, even financially that affect, you know, sexual desire. You know, you may be asking, what's the connection with financial? Well, if you're stressed about finances and if you're preoccupied with that, you know, you might not have such a high libido. If you've been fighting a lot in a relationship, well, guess what? Your libido might not be so high. If you're going through some health issues, guess what? Your libido might not be so high. So you have to talk openly and honestly about what's going on in your relationship, because a lot of the times, if you're dissatisfied sexually, it's not, you know, because your partner doesn't desire you or love you, as we learned in the opening segment. It could be something entirely situational, okay? But if you are feeling frustrated and there is an increasing sense of sexual dissatisfaction in your relationship, you and your relationship are vulnerable to infidelity, okay? So when we come back, we're going to be talking about ways to avoid infidelity, because it is a real, I'll call it a threat to a committed monogamous relationship. You know, there are differences. It's one thing if, you know, if you're in an open relationship or a poly relationship. It's another if you're under the impression that you're in a committed monogamous relationship. We'll be right back.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here, and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a one-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Newon. You're listening to this week's show titled Keeping the Sexual Sizzle Alive in Your Relationship. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative and interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional medicine. So over the course of my career, I've seen a lot of couples, and a lot of couples will complain about a lack of satisfaction in their sex life. And it's not just hetero couples, you know, it's couples, you know, gay couples, lesbian couples, you name it. The sexual relationship is often, you know, one of the greatest rewards of being in a relationship. And it can, you know, can be something that many couples and individuals take for granted, but it's precious. I would encourage you not to take it for granted and really, you know, understand that there are ways to keep those particular home fires burning. Because you want to make sure that you're affair-proofing your relationship. You know, I found it interesting when I got married the first time, one of the guests, she was a good friend of mine that I've known, you know, through the martial arts that we practiced together. She gave me a book titled How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. And I thought, why am I getting this? This will never happen. We love each other so much. There's no way, you know, that our relationship will ever be vulnerable to that. Well, here's the thing. All relationships are vulnerable to infidelity. So to help understand how to avoid that, Dr. David Ludden has talked about the conversation that you need to have that could keep people from cheating. So Dr. Ludden says long-term sexual relationships are typically presumed to be monogamous. And I'm just going to interject there. Please don't assume or presume. Have that conversation with your partner, especially in today's culture, okay? But he says long-term sexual relationships typically presumed to be monogamous. You expect your partner to be faithful, and your partner likely feels the same way about you. However, statistics suggest that infidelity occurs in as many as a quarter of all marriages. I would say, based on my clinical experience working with couples, It's way higher than that. Okay, so old research used to show that it was 50% infidelity rate. But I would submit to you, not everybody is going to admit to a researcher or their friends or their partner if they're having an affair. So it's likely much higher. Okay. He says the fact presents a big question for relationship researchers. What predicts when a partner will cheat? In the 1980s, psychologist Carol Rusbolt developed the investment model to explain commitment in relationships. According to this model, commitment depends on three factors. Number one, the quality of the relationship. Number two, shared investments like property, children, social status. And number three, the quality and availability of attractive alternatives. Further research explored whether a partner's sociosexual orientation, generally being more open to the idea of casual sex, predicted infidelity intention, and it did to an extent, the researchers found. People who'd engaged in sociosexual behavior, which of course would include acts of infidelity, and those experiencing sociosexual desire, such as regular fantasies about being with other partners, were more inclined to stray. But simply being more comfortable with the idea of casual sex did not correspond with greater intention to cheat. In fact, in this researchers, some people had a relatively high inclination to cheat even though they were not especially comfortable with casual sex. This speaks to our powerful need for sexual connection with another person and reminds us that some are willing to disregard their religious and moral beliefs when their sexual needs have been thwarted for too long. We may, as it turns out, adjust our preference for short-term or long-term sexual relationships depending on our recent experience. Some who played the field in their youth can settle into happy monogamy, and some who are dissatisfied with their relationship can find ways to justify cheating desires or actions, the article says. So, the author goes on to talk about beating them to the punch. Research by University of Toronto psychologist Eubin Park and her colleague Sun W. Park highlights another potentially crucial consideration. We enter into relationships to satisfy our needs for connection, sexual intimacy, and companionship, but we also need to protect ourselves from being taken advantage of. When couples fall into patterns in which one does most of the giving and the other most of the taking, one may perceive that the other has become less committed, which often includes putting sex on the back burner. An uncommitted partner, most of us would conclude, is unlikely to meet our needs in the future and might even be thinking of leaving. Under these circumstances, it seems only prudent to be on the lookout for a potential alternative, in theory. So researchers Park and Park tested this hypothesis in a study recently published in the journal titled Current Psychology. Their team asked 289 married adults, most of them in their 30s, to complete an online measure of their own level of commitment to their relationship, as well as rate their partner's level of commitment. In this way, participants revealed their perceived partner commitment, how committed they believed their spouse was to them. They also responded to statements that assessed how much attention they paid to attractive people around them. Perceptions, of course, do not always reflect reality. Just because we believe a partner isn't highly committed doesn't mean it's true. Nevertheless, the authors say, our behavior is guided by our perceptions because they form the only version of reality we know. But in this study, when researchers compared answers from both partners, they found the correlations between their perceptions to be fairly strong, meaning that they knew each other well. The results supported the hypothesis that people are more likely to consider other relationship options when they believe their spouse is no longer committed to their marriage. And the person's own level of commitment was not a good indicator of infidelity intentions. Even when participants said they wanted their marriage to last, they would still look around for other relationship options if they believed their partner was no longer committed. That's a relationship in trouble that should have seen a couple's relationship therapist a long time before it got to that point. Regardless, the author goes on to say, this study highlights the importance of looking beyond the individual to the larger context when trying to understand motivations for infidelity. The researchers identified people who were considering cheating or had already done so, not because they lost commitment to their marriage, but because they believe their partner no longer cared about them. Counselors will serve couples better by helping them recognize all of the factors that lead to a breach of trust. The idea is not to absolve a cheating partner from responsibility or shift blame to the spouse who is cheated on, but all parties need to understand that infidelity isn't just a matter of weak morals, that circumstance and context matters. Okay, so interesting how to avoid infidelity. One, you need to be committed. Two, you should be having, you know, regular discussions about, you know, what's needed, what's desired, and what's, you know, wanted in your relationship. And if you're noticing some relationship dissatisfaction starting to become a trend, you really have a responsibility to address that openly. And if you don't feel like you have the skills to do that, or if it's safe to do with that in your relationship, that's a red flag too. You really need to see a good couples therapist, okay? You can go to psychologytoday.com online. I wouldn't recommend you do online for couples therapy. Frankly, you're much better served if your relationship is in trouble and you feel like there's a risk of infidelity, you need to go see a good couples therapist in person. Okay, so when we come back though from, you know, the break, I'm going to be talking more about why we still love partners who aren't ideal, right? And it's important to understand your partners are going to change and grow in different ways. And in order to have a satisfying long-term relationship, you know, inside and outside of the bedroom, you have to be willing to accept that your partner's going to change and grow in ways that may not be in concert with the ways that you're changing and growing. But, you know, and certainly, you know, if you've been in a long-term relationship, that people are less than perfect and relationships can be less than ideal. But we're going to talk about why we still love partners who aren't ideal when we come back at the break. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. We'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working, or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take? We can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology to gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. I'm a double board certified integrative and interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional medicine. As you know, the purpose of the show is get you thinking about how powerful your mind is and what you can do right now to create a better life for yourself. Certainly, we want you to be able to feel satisfied in your long-term relationship. So this week, we're talking about how to keep the sexual sizzle alive in your relationship. If you're dealing with some couples issues, I want to encourage you to give us a call. We've got some great couples therapists on board here at the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. That number is 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400 if you're looking to get in with a good couples therapist. Because here's the thing. Depending on how you rated yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, you know, how did you rate yourself when it comes to making an effort to keep the sexual energy alive in your relationship? Did you score, you know, on the high end where you feel really good that you're taking the time to invest and continually reinvest in the sexual relationship, you know, side of things? Or did you score on the lower end where you're like, yeah, you know, I really could be making more of an effort in that department. You know, maybe I've been sick, or maybe I've been tired, or I've been preoccupied, or, you know, gosh, I realize I've been taking my partner for granted. Well, depending on how you're rated, you know, you'll want to definitely take responsibility for that. If you've rated yourself high and you feel like you're doing a good job, keep it up, because that is one of the ways to affair-proof your relationship, right? If you rated yourself on the low end, then you've got work to do, right? Nothing good is given. We've got to earn it, all right? So how do we, you know, how do we stay committed and re-engage and keep those, you know, home fires burning, the sexual sizzle, you know, with a partner who's less than ideal, right? Because let's face it, we're all imperfect. We're perfectly imperfect. Well, according to Dr. Madeline Fugere, a PhD, who's a professor of social psych at Eastern Connecticut State University and the author of The Social Psychology of Attraction and Romantic Relationships, she tells us that when a partner's sexual ideals are not met, it can have consequences for a relationship unless the couple can foster a certain trait. Interesting, interesting. All right, so what traits then would your ideal sexual partner possess, right? So, great question. And once you had that partner, what types of sexual behavior would you find most satisfying? I'm just going to interject there. I want to go back real quick to avoiding infidelity and beating your partner to the punch, right? Being able to affair-proof your marriage. It talked early on about people finding other people attractive and whether or not that would be an indicator of an intention to cheat. And thinking about other people while you have sex, let's be perfectly frank. Sexual fantasies are something that almost all people engage in, and they're almost, I wouldn't say never, but often they're not about the person they're having sex with in the moment, and that's perfectly normal, and it's not an indicator of an intention to cheat either. Sometimes it's one of the ways that you keep the sexual satisfaction sizzling is by allowing yourself to engage in fantasy. Well, according to Dr. Madeline Fugere, that is going to be one of the things that is important too, is understanding, you know, what your ideal sexual partner possesses and what you had, you know, once you had that partner, what type of sexual behavior would you find most satisfying? And would it be an ability to share some of those sexual fantasies, right? So in a recent study published in the journal Personality and Social Psych, Rhonda Balzerini of Texas State University and colleagues investigated these quote-unquote sexual ideals. Realistically, many people's actual sexual partners may not meet those high standards, so the researchers also explored the challenges unmet expectations present for long-term relationships and the qualities that could protect partners from the worst consequences of the disconnect. The researchers conducted six studies involving primarily long-term mixed-sex couples, most of whom identified as hetero and white. Across the studies, the team found that individuals who considered their needs unmet also felt less sexually satisfied and rated their relationships as lower in quality and commitment. Since these findings are correlational, other factors could hamper relationship satisfaction. For example, the researchers also examined whether unmet sexual ideals can actually cause reduced relationship satisfaction. They asked some participants to recall two ways their partner responded to their sexual needs, some to recall 10 ways, and in a control condition, asked others a question about their partner that was unrelated to sex. The team believed that recalling two instances would be relatively easy for participants, and thus that group might be more likely to feel that their sexual needs were met. Attempting to name 10 instances would be more difficult, they hypothesized, making those partners more likely to feel their needs were unmet. After these and other manipulations, the team found that individuals who believed their partners were not meeting their sexual ideals felt reduced relationship quality as compared to those who believed that their partners did meet their sexual ideals. No surprise there. Working with differences, though, these findings appear discouraging because it's easy to imagine that our partners and sexual experiences will inevitably fall short of our ideals. However, researchers also identified a trait which, when possessed by either partner, can help ameliorate these negative effects. This quality is known as sexual communal strength. And for partners who are in high in it, it can mitigate the effects of unmet ideals and help preserve relationship quality. The researchers define sexual communal strength as the extent to which individuals are motivated to meet a partner's sexual needs. When subjects had a partner who was higher in sexual communal strength, they did not report reduced satisfaction, commitment, or relationship quality, even if their sexual needs were not being fully met. Having a partner who expressed care and concern for their desires, the team found, protected relationships from the negative effects of unmet needs. People who are highly responsive to a mate's wishes, the findings suggest, may be better at navigating conflicts and may remain satisfied in the relationship, even when they have different interests or sacrifice their own preferences for a partner. Interestingly, the team found that individuals who are very responsive to a partner's needs also experience more sexual desire, enhanced relationship satisfaction, and commitment over time. Let me just say this one more time because I think it bears repeating. The team found that individuals who are very responsive to a partner's needs also experience more sexual desire, enhanced relationship satisfaction, and commitment over time. All right, so talk about extending and showing care and consideration. One of the things I encourage people to do, whether I'm meeting with them individually or as a couple, is to practice what I call show and tell. Show your love and appreciation behaviorally and tell your partner. Right? Make it a point, just like we did when we were in grade school. Show and tell. Show the ways you love them. Show the ways you desire them. And tell them the ways you love them and care about them and desire them. Okay? Because, again, the team found that individuals who are very responsive to their partner's needs showed increased satisfaction sexually and otherwise. People who are high in sexual communal strength, the author says, may prioritize the benefits for their partner, leading them both to report greatest satisfaction. Again, it's important to note that partners high in sexual communal strength may still believe that their sexual ideals are not being met, but they're just better able to maintain satisfying relationships despite such feelings, right? So the author goes on to say, these studies suggest that your partner's level of sexual communal strength may have a larger impact on your relationship satisfaction and commitment than your own level. The helpful effects of a partner's sexual communal strength did not diminish, even when researchers controlled for couples' sexual frequency and level of sexual desire. So regardless of how often you're having sex or your level of desire, you can still be very, very satisfied. The authors believe their study represents the first evidence that having a sexually communal partner might help maintain sexual satisfaction over time, even when they have unmet ideals. It's also encouraging that our perception of our partner's sexual communal strength can be enhanced just by remembering a few instances when they were attentive, responsive, and motivated to meet our sexual needs, which is why that could be a healthy and productive practice to adopt in a relationship. If you're satisfied in your relationship, great. If you're not, ask yourself honestly what you can do right now to turn it around, because you and your partner are worth it. I want to thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. We will talk soon. Thanks again. I appreciate you all.